From the National Humanities Center at Research Triangle Park, North Carolina, this is Wayne Pond with Soundings, conversations featuring scholars and visitors at the National Humanities Center. This week on Soundings, two discussions about concepts of self as represented in American literature, culture, and education. First, a conversation with Charles Caramello of the University of Maryland, who will discuss his forthcoming book about Henry James and Gertrude Stein. Following that, a discussion with Patricia Meyer Spax of Yale University and Sally Humble of Raleigh, North Carolina. Their topic is Concepts of Self, the title of a recent summer institute for high school teachers convened at the National Humanities Center. Charles Caramello is the author of articles and two books about 20th century literature and literary theory. During a recent fellowship year at the National Humanities Center, he worked on a project entitled Henry James, Gertrude Stein, and the Location of Self. According to Charles Caramello, James and Stein are not only major figures in modern literature, they are both also significant theorists of autobiography who seek to locate coherent personal and literary selves within history, geography, and society. Chuck Caramello, you are at the Humanities Center to write a book about notions of the self. You're looking at Henry James and Gertrude Stein. Let's begin our conversation about this project. How did you come to it? You had done some work on postmodernism. You're kind of backtracking now. I have that right?
That's exactly right.
Tell me.
Okay. Well, the two things I was looking at, that the idea of the book is an entity, a whole entity, a conceptual entity, and the idea of the self as a whole entity, a conceptual entity, change. That, or more precisely, that in this fiction, neither of them are any longer perceived to be.
All right, now
discrete conceptual entities.
Okay, now when you say the book and when you say the self, are you talking in terms that Joe Public would not have any difficulty with? You're talking about the idea of writing, the enterprise of doing literature, as it were, and then this interior world that we all carry around with us. Do I have that right?
Well, what I'm saying is that there are two undeniable physical objects.
One is
the book,
and the other is the
And the other is the person who writes it.
Fair enough.
No one will dispute that. However, what those physical objects represent has changed. The book is no longer understood to be a discrete conceptual object.
Now we talk about the text. And it sort of floats,
And talking about the text allows us to talk about intertextuality, which is to say, you convert the book into the text, and the text becomes part of an intertext, part of a web of text to which it belongs. One can say the same thing about the self. It's a way of speaking of the self.
All right, you're implying a great deal of what would be the right word? The organic here, the changing, the sort of dynamic situation in which a writer, he or she composes a novel or a poem, but it isn't just fixed.
Precisely.
It's something that you have to come to, re-examine in many fashions.
Precisely. It's no longer a fixed, discrete object. Neither the poem that's written, nor the poet who writes it.
All right, now, does this unsettle you? Does this unsettle the literary critics? How would you expect this idea of the book to come, for instance, what would be the public reaction? Oh, come on, you're just creating problems that don't exist there. I can walk into my bookstore and I see the book. There it is in front of me. What do you mean it's changed?
Well, I think there's one obvious answer to that, and which is that one can say to anyone who reads a book, why is it that the book you read is not the same as the book I read? We both read the same book.
Two different impressions.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a way of theorizing that, essentially.
I see. Fair enough.
So, at this point, I was interested in a contemporary group of writers, and I was interested in two problems, the problem of the book as a whole and the problem of the self as a whole, or more precisely, the way in which neither of them are perceived to be wholes.
They need one another.
They need one another, but neither of them is any longer perceived to be even a discrete object within that discrete relationship. Let me try and put it this way. We have a very major writer, Henry James,
right,
who does almost all of his important work in fiction by 1903. Mm-hmm. The last great novels are just at the turn of the century. He writes some shorter fiction after that and works on two or three novels that remain unfinished.
Mm-hmm. He lives about, what, another lives dozen
till
years?
Lives till 1916. Mm-hmm. So he's well into the 20th century.
Right.
Now, what I find interesting is that although the great fiction ends at 1903, this is a man who kept writing. He did an awful lot of writing in the last 12 or so years of his life. He wrote a biography, William Wetmore's story and his friends about an expatriate painter. Uh-huh. He wrote the critical prefaces to his collected works. He writes The American Scene, a book about America, the country he's been away from for 21 years and has now returned to.
Mm-hmm. He also writes his own autobiography,
yes,
does he not?
And that in a sense, is still at the center of my project.
Right.
He then writes three volumes of memoirs some years later, after 1910, A Small Boy and Others, Notes mm-hmm. of a Son and Brother, and mm-hmm. The Middle Years, which he abandoned just as the First World War broke out, interestingly. Then threw himself very much into the war effort in England, and indeed wrote several very interesting pieces about the war, about its early stages, and primarily about refugees.
Hmm.
Now, let me leave the James thread here and jump to the Stein thread.
Sure, I was going to ask you how you hook them up or tease the two out.
All right. So, we now have Gertrude Stein. Their dates overlap, incidentally, quite nicely. James was born in 1843 and died in 1916. Stein was born in 1874 and died in 1946. So they really, if one is going to say the period of high modernism is at roughly the turn of the century toward the First World War, you have two people who absolutely overlap that period.
Like, it's two circles, the middles of which are meeting.
Precisely. This was one of the reasons I picked the two of them to do this. Now, Stein, like James, moved around a good bit in her childhood, made many trips to Europe, and in 1903 essentially settled in Europe and did a good deal of writing, of course. The early novellas of Three Lives, this very major novel called The Making of Americans, lots of poetry, operas, plays, lots of experimental work, lots of quite dazzling work. Now, in the early 30s, so now you see, we're now approaching the last 12 or so years of Stein's life as well. In the early 30s, Stein begins to do things like the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas, mm-hmm. everybody's autobiography.
And here we have echoes of what James was doing.
Exactly.
Replications.
Virtually, close to a replication.
Right.
A bit later, another memoir called Wars I Have Seen, mm-hmm. which is essentially a narrative of what she was doing during the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
Many other books like that. She also makes a lecture tour to America, and hers is in 1934-1935 after a 31-year absence, and this similarly generates a book called The Geographical History of America,
mm-hmm.
which has certain parallels to James's The American Scene.
So there are a lot of ghosts here.
An awful lot of ghosts. So what I'm saying here is if we think of Stein's last 12 or 15 years, we have someone who now is also writing lots of narrative forms of narrative, which are not, strictly speaking, fictional.
Mm-hmm.
There are other kinds of narrative forms. Mm-hmm. They, too, seem to involve very much the problem of a self, and mm-hmm. specifically the problem of Stein's own self.
What does this notion of the self mean to these two writers? You've talked about the self-consciousness that they share. Mm-hmm. You've talked about the fact that they write about what they have written, that they offer a theoretical dimension. But what does it come to? Does it lead us into the notion of the writer looking at himself in the mirror? Are we back to that romantic proposition of the writer finding himself more important or interesting than what he writes about?
No, I think that is, in some sense, precisely the change.
Uh-huh.
I think that in James's later writing, and in the autobiographical works in particular, but in all of that later writing, all of that later biography, autobiography, intellectual autobiography, mm-hmm. and so on, that James sees that game is up.
Uh-huh.
That in some ways it's not interesting to sit and only try and excavate oneself. Or more precisely, try to excavate only oneself,
uh-huh.
is the way I would put it.
It certainly
independent
has,
of society.
It's continued, though, hasn't it?
Yes, but let me pursue this a bit longer.
All right.
I think what you see in James's autobiographical work is, one, surely there's still the vestige.
Mm-hmm.
Surely this idea of recapturing the self, the individual self. What was I? How was I thinking back then?
Yeah.
This is a great excavational move.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there's the sense that, but one is not a self independently. One is a self in society. One is a self in history. One is a self in time and in place.
Mm-hmm.
In short,
mm-hmm.
and more importantly, or perhaps not more importantly, but more significantly for the kinds of questions I'm interested in, one is a self in language. But to come back again, particularly to the notion of self, I think that what we see in James is a desire still, now talking late 19th century, early 20th century, a desire to believe in the coherent self.
Mm-hmm.
Which is part and parcel with the desire to believe in a coherent social body.
Yeah, the connection between
connection.
What I am and everything that is not the I.
Yeah, well, I am connected.
Uh-huh.
Society is connected.
Right.
I am connected to society.
Yeah.
I mean, his great quest was for very elaborate systems of connection. Connection is a key word for him.
And not to deny that.
No, indeed.
As so many writers have.
Indeed, to be... for James, I think there was great fear in James,
mm-hmm.
that things weren't connected. That's mm-hmm. what I find so interesting about the late work,
mm-hmm.
where on one level, it's a quest for this form of connectedness, how mm-hmm. to connect his self, how to connect himself to his present place, to the place he left, how to connect himself to his present time, to the time he left.
Mm-hmm.
He's always seeking for connections, but doing so almost obsessively.
Well, Chuck Caramello, what does it come down to? Egotism against altruism? Am I being...
No, because these are two giant egos.
Yeah.
Stein was certainly not lacking a sense of self, and neither was Henry James. No, rather what I'm trying to get at is, first of all, how does one understand self? And I think James wants to understand self as a discrete entity, a discrete and coherent entity,
mm-hmm.
who operates within the framework of a coherent society.
And Stein, by contrast,
sees that society is no longer that coherent, that uh-huh. it's not even possible to see it as coherent in that way, and that one has to therefore rethink the notion of what the self is that operates within that society,
mm-hmm.
that it itself is no longer quite so self-defining, quite so discrete, quite so integrated as we like to think, mm-hmm. but is a form of construction.
Mm-hmm.
Construction from within, to be sure, mm-hmm. but also construction from without. She was very preoccupied with the notion of celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the one difference between James and Stein is that in Stein's times, radio is very important.
Yeah.
She was very concerned with what did it mean to be a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And there's a great division in Stein on this. On the one hand, I think she too holds to a notion of the self. I am what I am, mm-hmm. and what everyone says about me is somehow extraneous to what I am and a violation of what I am. But on the other hand, she's saying, no, really what I am is also the sum of what everybody's saying about me and the way in which I'm being constructed. Yeah. But I think finally Stein sees things coming apart in the Second World War in the same way that James sees things coming apart in the First World War. Mm-hmm. And they really both wind up as kind of warning voices. This is what we've had. This is what our society's been. Mm-hmm. This has been the possibility of selves within that society. Now the society's changing, and now those possibilities are changing. And I think that's what James does with respect to the years leading up to the 20th century and with what he sees is happening in mm-hmm. the 20th century. And I think the same thing happens to Stein in terms of what happens subsequent to the First World War and what she sees as happening in the Second World War and immediately post-war period.
Charles Caramello is a professor of English at the University of Maryland. During a recent fellowship year at the National Humanities Center, Charles Caramello worked on a forthcoming study about Henry James and Gertrude Stein. The program is Soundings. This is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. Soundings on Concepts of Self concludes now with a conversation about a recent Summer Institute for High School Teachers of Literature convened at the National Humanities Center. The title of the institute was Concepts of Self. Two of its participants were Patricia Meyer Spax of Yale University and Sally Humble of Raleigh, North Carolina. Patricia Meyer Spax is the author of books and articles about 18th and 19th century English literature. During a fellowship year at the National Humanities Center, she wrote a book about gossip as literary and cultural discourse. Sally Humble is head of the English department at Enloe High School in Raleigh, North Carolina. She's the author of Faulkner's Women, published in 1972, and of articles about 19th and 20th century American fiction. Well, Sally, let me ask you to be specific and concrete, as the freshman English teachers would say. Be anecdotal for me. Tell me about some of the things that you have discussed, learned, talked about, questioned in this high school institute. Your topic has been concepts of self. Explain that for me at the outset.
I think in the beginning, when I thought about concepts of self, I wasn't really certain what we were going to be examining, mm-hmm. because I think any work of literature can be examined in that way, and in fact, that is something of what we've done, looked at that concept in a variety of types of works of literature. And for me, as the 3 weeks have progressed, it seems to me that we've moved in a direction of looking at the self as being represented as a variety of types of selves. The first week we talked about the female as a hero, mm-hmm. and in relationship to the focus on questions, I think what was so strong about that discussion was looking at a rather traditional novel, Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte, and discovering that there are some very new questions to be asked about that novel. And one of my particular projects that's emerging from the seminar is a study guide that is made up of questions that I expect to use in the fall with my students and to teach that novel again. Mm-hmm. I have a set of questions that a student had devised last year. I did some rereading of the Gilbert and Gubar Mad Woman in the Attic and then included Pat's questions that she raised, mm-hmm. and have worked out a series of questions that make us see that that novel is not just a traditional Victorian novel, but it's a very modern novel, mm-hmm. in which a woman begins to ask new questions for herself.
Let me ask you to pause on that, Sally Humble, Pat Spax. Our topic is concepts of self in literature. Pat, I think you must be, I love your bumper stickers. I'd rather be reading, who is it, the Bronte sister?
Jane Austen.
Jane Austen. Again, be specific, be anecdotal for me. Do you find that your students are prepared to talk about relatively difficult theories theoretical questions in literature with regard, for instance, to the female as hero, the topic that Sally Humble just mentioned. When they come to you from the high schools, is this stuff that they are that's altogether foreign to them? How do they react?
Well, they react generally with enthusiasm. I would never present such questions as theoretical questions. They aren't theoretical questions. They're questions that emerge directly from the text, but they are questions that have a lot to do with the student's personal experience. And I suppose that that is an issue that is also behind the conception of this Institute on Concepts of Self. That topic, as a topic for the study of literature, is a topic which emphasizes in its very nature the fact that literature is being conceived as something that helps students to think about themselves and their world. I was talking recently to a friend about a study she had been reading of individualism in American life. This is a recent sociological study which tried to examine what values were like in American adults today. And apparently the finding of this study was that virtually everyone claimed to have a system of values, but virtually nobody could tell where they came from or what authority they had. And the typical response was, well, this works for me, or this is what I believe, without any sense that anybody else had ever believed the same thing, or that it made any difference whether anybody else had believed the same thing. It seems to me that one thing that literature can do for its audience of whatever age is to alleviate that sense of loneliness, to give people a sense of how values are passed down through the ages, who has articulated them, and how they participate in a living tradition.
Mm-hmm. Pat Speck, Sally Humble, our topic is the teaching of literature in the high schools. You have both participated in a summer institute at the National Humanities Center around the topic Concepts of Self. Let's return to that. Tell me about some of the kinds of things that you have looked at. Why are they important that high school teachers should be exposed to them or come to them again, and then in turn pass them on to their students? Sally?
The first week we focused on the concept of the female self, which I think is a very important aspect of the self to emphasize both with college and high school students, because we are reaching an important group of people whom historically we have not reached. During the second week, we looked at several works by African writers and one by Richard Wright. And that exposure to literature from a different culture, not a native English-speaking culture, was extremely important for us. And I found several works that we have not used before in our curriculum that I will definitely want to add to our curriculum.
Why would works like this be important to high school students? You were talking, for instance, about slave narratives. You would be talking about letters, diaries, journals kept by women, for example, on the American frontier, that kind of thing. Why would high school students today find that useful, helpful, important?
Well, one of the responses I think that feminist criticism has had to the tradition of literature is that the works that we define as the classics, as the great works of literature, are often written by men and are about the experiences of men. What has happened in the last two decades has been the discovery of a great deal of literature which has not in the past been identified as great, but which we recognize is very good literature, which provides us with a different kind of experience.
Mm-hmm. Let me draw Pat Spacks into the conversation. The bugbear here, the watchword or the word to condemn might be merit, excellence, standards. We read the works of white male writers because it happens to be good literature. How do we work the standards here in bringing into the literary agenda and canon the works of writers and topics that we have neglected? Pat?
I think that the curriculum of the Institute contains no works that are even debatably second rate. They are all works which answer to the traditional tests of literary merit. Let me mention a few titles of works that we have talked about. We've talked about the African autobiography Ake. We've talked about the novel by a black American woman, their eyes were watching God. These are works of very conspicuous merit, and I don't think it is necessary to make any sacrifice of merit in order to introduce works from non-traditional groups. As a matter of fact, somebody pointed out yesterday that it is interesting that so many of the recent works, which have attracted a lot of literary interest, are works by Black women, members of a doubly oppressed group, if you were. One interesting thing about the curriculum of the Institute is that we have dealt with literature in three different genres under the rubric of concepts of the self. We have read novels, we have read autobiographies, which are, of course, the most obvious text for such a concept, and we have read poetry and found ways of talking about all of these together without ignoring the differences among them, and I think that has been a valuable contribution of this particular curriculum.
So you're not talking so much about bumping things as you are talking about adding to, making
exactly.
new places for
exactly.
for works that that deserve public attention from high school teachers and high school students. Sally Humble?
Yes, and that adding to, I think, is the most important point to make. I think what high school students need more than anything else is exposure to literature, which means a lot of reading, frequent reading, and reading of different kinds of materials. One of the other books that Pat didn't mention, The Dark Child by Kamara Lai, mm-hmm. Is an excellent text for junior high and early high school students. It would be very easy for them to read, and since the novel or the autobiography is about a culture that's very different from theirs, African culture, it provides an opportunity to be exposed to the way a young boy grows up in another world,
uh-huh.
and some of the values that we regard as traditionally masculine or feminine are altered or switched in that book, and it would offer the opportunity for a student to read something that would be fairly easy to read and at the same time have a literary experience of the best kind.
Mm-hmm.
I think that parents have a tendency sometimes to think of the study of literature as one of the more decorative aspects of their children's education, that it is general culture, and that general culture is very nice but is not as important as mathematical skills, say, which may be directly useful in earning a living. One can make a case for the study of writing, certainly, well, for the study of reading and writing as instrumental in ways of earning a living, but the case I would make for literature would have nothing to do with its instrumentality. It would have to do with literature as an end in itself, as a way of enlarging and deepening experience, which parents as well as students, I think, should take very seriously indeed.
Mm-hmm. The program is Soundings. This is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. You've been listening to discussions about concepts of self as represented in American literature, culture, and education. My guests were Charles Caramello of the University of Maryland, Patricia Meyer Spax of Yale University, and Sally Humble of Enloe High School in Raleigh, North Carolina. For a cassette copy of Soundings on Concepts of Self, send $3 to the National Humanities Center, Research Triangle Park, North Carolina, 27709. Next week on Soundings, the first in a series of conversations about classical French and Spanish literature. The Soundings panelists will include scholars from the University of Arizona and the University of Rochester. Until next week, this is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. Support for Soundings comes from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Listen to Soundings. This is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center inviting you to join me this week for two discussions about concepts of self as represented in American literature, culture, and education. Charles Caramello of the University of Maryland will discuss his forthcoming study about Henry James and Gertrude Stein, both major American writers who sought coherent personal and literary selves within history, geography, and society. Also on Soundings this week, a discussion about a recent summer institute for high school teachers of literature convened at the National Humanities Center. The topic of the Institute was Concepts of Self. Two conversations this week on Soundings from the National Humanities Center on this station.